My guest at this time is Dr. Seth Baum. He's president of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology. While healthcare reform has clearly dominated the headlines in recent weeks, another aspect of the healthcare challenge is yet to be directly addressed, and that is the intense debate over prescription drugs. In addition to the ongoing quest for lower prices for consumers, Dr. Baum and many other doctors are deeply frustrated by bureaucrats often getting in the way and preventing patients from getting the medication their doctors think are most helpful. And Dr. Baum, thanks very much for your time today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, at issue here is insurance industry officials often determining that certain drugs, especially new ones, I would imagine, are not worth the expense. So how common is this problem and how does it happen?
Well, unfortunately, it has become a prevalent issue. Until the PCSK9 inhibitors came on the market in the summer of 2015, it was a little less common. Now it's becoming more and more common. And it's a huge problem, actually. So we physicians will recommend that patients be on certain medications because we think they're the best for them. PCSK9 inhibitors represent one of those medications. We will then prescribe the medicine, and the prescription requires a very, very cumbersome prior authorization forms to be completed. They can be up to 17 pages long, and they consume a tremendous amount of time on the part of the staff and on the part of the physician. And that's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's okay if we had success. It turns out, though, the problem is that more often than not, these prescriptions are denied by insurance companies. Now, the excuse often given is they're very costly drugs. But if you really think about it, the insurance companies have already agreed to pay whatever price it is, and who knows what price it really is, but they've agreed to pay this, and they put the drugs on formulary, and then they put up barriers for clinicians to be able to prescribe these drugs and give these drugs to their patients. There's a massive inherent problem in that.
So is it mainly, you're obviously looking at this from the perspective of a cardiologist, is it mainly the drug you referred to? Is it a lot of different drugs as they come on the market? And is this a common problem with doctors with other specialties?
Yeah, so it is a common problem. So you're right. I am looking at it as a cardiologist and a lipid specialist. And the PCSK9 inhibitors are most problematic. They happen to be the greatest advance in lipid-lowering therapy in 30 years. So obviously we want to be able to use these drugs when they're indicated. The FDA provides very clear guidance in the PI or package insert for all drugs. And even when we prescribe what's called on-label, in other words, completely according to FDA recommendations or FDA demands, quite frankly, we're denied. Now, this happens in other specialties, too. In the world of cardiology, it does happen with some drugs that are used for congestive heart failure, and that's a big problem. But it also happens with blood pressure medications and other medicines across all specialties.
We're talking with Dr. Seth Baum. He's president of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology. We're talking about a lot of the different issues facing the prescription drug aspect of healthcare reform. Dr. Baum, how has this problem grown, changed, perhaps even diminished since the adoption of the Affordable Care Act back in 2010?
Well, it's definitely grown. It's only gotten worse. But it's become remarkably worse over the last couple of years. So things are looking very bleak from where we stand. And the problem is that these are medications for patients who require them in order oftentimes to live longer lives or not to have heart attacks or not to have strokes. So these are not minor issues. And it definitely has been estimated that people have had heart attacks, strokes, or even died because of the inability to access some of these medications.
What about
it's a big deal, in other words.
Absolutely. What's the explanation you get from the insurance industry? If they agree to provide coverage for this, what's their explanation for putting up the barriers, as you stated?
So oftentimes they'll give different excuses, and the excuses almost seem capricious. So they'll say, well, you haven't completed such and such a form, when in fact we have completed that form. And we'll send it back to the insurance company and say, see, we've completed it. And then they'll say something else, well, you have to try such and such a drug. and we'll say, well, we have tried that drug, as you can see on the form. So it's really there's no rhyme or reason to this. We did a study that was accepted and shown at the American College of Cardiology meetings just last week as a poster. And in that, we evaluated prescriptions for PCSK9 inhibitors over a one-year time span. And we looked at approval rates and denial rates. And we looked at various metrics, such as patients being on high-intensity statins or high-intensity statins plus another medicine for lipids, or the use of something called an antiplatelet therapy, which is for people with vascular disease. And we found that there's really no difference between approvals and denials, regardless of these metrics. In other words, the denials seem to be random, and that's a really troubling finding.
How do you spread the blame here? We've talked about the insurance companies not following through on their word. We've talked about the Affordable Care Act perhaps complicating this because of all the different regulations and so forth that they'll make insurance companies go through, and they might make drug makers go through. So in some ways, it's probably all of the above. But who do you point the finger at most here?
It's very hard to figure out who to point the finger at. You know, there's really not tremendous transparency here. One of the groups that really flies beneath the radar are the pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs. And they're the middlemen in the relationship between the pharmaceutical industries and the insurance payers. And they really negotiate prices. They establish rebate systems. And we really don't know how much drugs genuinely cost. There are list prices that we all hear about, but the reality is those are not the prices that that are being paid for these drugs. The PBMs earn somewhere in the several hundred billion dollar a year range. So that's their gross revenue. So they're massive. And people are not looking at them, not talking about them, and we need to focus some attention on them as well. I'm not saying they're the only ones to blame. I really genuinely don't know who's to blame. I do know, however, that the process of getting a drug for a patient is severely flawed, and we need to fix that process. We need to have better access to people on the insurance payer side who actually understand what they're doing, and with whom we can have a conversation and get the appropriate drug for the patient. I have been told by very powerful people in the insurance industry that when an insurance payer has on its formulary a particular drug, and a physician prescribes that drug for appropriate reasons, the insurance payer is obligated to give that drug to the patient, and it just doesn't happen. So one of the things we need to do is engage the patients in this process, because once the patient actually is involved and once the patient's voice is heard by the insurance payer, things start happening. The doctor has less power by a long shot than the patient.
So protesting and appealing the rejection of coverage by the insurance company can make a big difference?
Absolutely. So, but that protest and that appeal needs to be done in parallel with the patient calling the insurance provider. That ostensibly actually starts the clock from an insurance payer standpoint. They have to take note of when a patient makes the contact with the insurance company. They don't have to do anything when we, the physicians, make contact. They can just discard that. So the patient's contact is critical in this process. Now, even with the appeal process, however, I'll use the PCSK9 inhibitors again as an example, we still are getting only about 40% ultimate approval rate for commercial patients and somewhere a little above 50% or close to 60% for Medicare patients. So we're still not doing a great job, even with all these appeals. And sometimes I have patients who've been in the appeal process for over a year. And these are really, really sick patients who really need the medication.
We're talking with Dr. Seth Baum, president of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology. Two very quick questions before we let you go, Dr. Baum, and we know your time is precious. As these newer drugs come on market and insurance companies come up with reasons not to cover them for patients, does that not then create a spiraling effect where fewer drugs are being dispensed, which drives the costs even higher, especially as they try to develop further new drugs?
Well, you bring up a very good point, and this is our major worry, is that if the payers make it so difficult for new drugs to be utilized, then innovations will obviously diminish. It's not going to be worth the expense of trying to create new innovative drugs for patients. And this would be devastating. We've had so many advances in the recent years that to lose that opportunity would be just horrible. I can't even imagine. So we definitely need to fix this. The other thing that I think people need to understand is that in the olden days, the patient-doctor relationship was truly sacrosanct. And nowadays it's being undermined. And it's being undermined it's been very insidious, but it's being undermined in a very grave way. So at this point, the insurance providers really are calling the shots. They're really saying what can or cannot a patient take for a given ailment. And that's absolutely outside their purview.
Last question. You talked a little bit about how to solve this by getting the patients directly involved. But what about when it comes to putting the clamps down on the insurance industry or anybody else who's involved with this in a nefarious way, where there's government regulations that are in the way? What else is part of the equation here in making this better?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think there are multiple aspects to this. There's the payer issue. There's the PBM issue. There are regulatory issues. It's frankly too complex for me to fully understand, especially in view of the fact that much of this is hidden. So I don't have access to a lot of details that would be important to have access to. I can simply say that the end result of all of this is that we have a system that is failing and getting worse. And if it continues to spiral down the way it's spiraling, the patient-clinician relationship will be lost, and patients will not have the opportunity to access medications that can be life-saving. We absolutely need to do something about this, and we absolutely need transparency. And I think that's the way that we'll be able to get to the bottom of it.
A very complicated issue, and you've helped us understand it a whole lot better. Dr. Baum, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Dr. Seth Baum is president of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.